Hey, welcome to Kingsway Caringba. We are a community inspired by love to live differently. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. It's so great to have you with us. We pray this teaching will inspire you, build your faith, and lead you to a life of fullness and freedom in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Believe that God is rolling out the red carpet for everyone this morning. There's this real sense that God is very present. He's very engaged. He's very engaged with you. He's very engaged with what's going on in your life at the moment. And there is a red carpet that is rolled out before you. You're at one end and He's at the other. But there is an internal decision that you have to make and I have to make and we have to make to actually take a step forward and actually engage in the process of getting closer to Him. Because He's ready. He's waiting. It's exciting. You have a need this morning. He's ready to provide. You need clarity this morning. He's ready to provide it. He's ready to give it. He's here. But at the end of the day, the decision is yours. So as we enter this time of learning and thinking and processing and praying and being together in the Word, let me pray for you. Because nothing's going to shift unless you take that step forward. So let me pray. God, I want to thank you so much that you never go back on your promises. When you say that you will be with us, you are. When you say that you will be our provider, you are. When you say that you'll give us wisdom, you will. And so, God, I'm going to stand here this morning, and on behalf of this family, God, we just say we're ready to step out. We're ready to step towards you. We're ready to receive what you have for us this morning. And Father, I pray over those people in this space that are worried about what that might mean. Worried about that commitment. Worried about that act of surrender. Father, I pray over their hearts and minds today. May you meet them in this place. May you encourage them today. And may we embark on a journey to get closer and closer to you because you are a good God with good things for your people. So God, I'm ready. I'm ready to take that step closer to you. We're listening, God. We're here. Amen. Have a seat, team. For those who I haven't met before, my name's Avril. I'm one of the team at Kingsway. And if you can't tell, I'm pretty excited about this morning. I'm pretty excited often when I get to hold this microphone. I love talking about Jesus and I love sharing God's word with people. It's one of the things that I think is just such a blessing in my life. So thank you. This morning, we're going to begin a journey together. Over the next few weeks, between now and just a bit beyond Easter, we're going to journey through a series called A Better Way. The Gospels are full of wonderful stories. They tell the journey of Jesus and the people that were following him. Now, 2,000 or so years later, I'm still one of those people who are choosing to follow Jesus. And I can still learn from the things that I read about in the Gospels. I can learn what it means to be his follower. I can learn what it means to listen to him. I can learn what it means to live the way he'd like me to live. And so we're going to journey that together over the next few months. We're going to look at moments in the Gospels. We're going to think about what it meant for the people who were watching on and what it meant for the people involved and what it means for us today. Because I believe the Word of God is living. It breathes freshness into my life. The stories that it tells may be old, But the truth that it carries is very real today. And I can learn from it, and I can delight in it, and I can enjoy it. And so we're going to take that journey together this morning and into the next few weeks and the series beyond. Are you ready to go with me on this one? All right. Over the last few days, we've had 24 hours of prayer. It's been a wonderful time. It always is. It's wonderful because it's an encouragement to me to pray with you. It's also wonderful because when I choose to pay attention to God, He does something on the inside of me. There are many, many times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, where God makes a big noise on the inside of a person. And their only response is to do something a little bit outside the box externally. A loud noise internally with God often leads to a movement externally. We think about David in 2 Samuel. He was leading the Ark of the Covenant into God's city. And the noise that God was making on the inside of him, the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm was so overwhelming that all David could do was externally dance and worship. There was an internal noise that led to an external action. Then we look at Peter on the boat. In the middle of a storm, and Jesus is walking on the water towards him. And Peter was so overwhelmed with who this person was and what was going on at the moment and who God was in the midst of it all. And there was this internal noise that was so great that caused Peter actually to step out of the boat and begin to walk on the water toward him. The internal noise led to an external action. I want to tell you about another time when this happened in the Gospels. And I want to encourage you as you listen today. The better way for us is to let go of pride and pick up a sense of need and surrender and desperation for God. That internal noise needs to be so loud within us that we're ready to make an external action. I like this image that's up on the screen at the moment. I think we are very good. I am. I'm going to own it. I'm very good at control. I'm very good at holding very tightly to the way people see me. I'm very good at holding very tightly to my routines and my rhythms. I'm very good at making sure everyone thinks I've got it all together. I'm very good at that. But the better way, if I'm really honest with you, and if I think about what we're going to share and where we're going to go this morning, my encouragement to you is the better way is to say, you know what, I might look like I've got it all under control, but I really don't, and I've got to be okay to let it go. To let it go before Jesus, to let it go before my faith community and say, you know what, I might not have it all together today and I'm just going to be okay with that. Because that's the better way. That's when Jesus turns up and does something incredible. Not because I'm incredible or you're incredible, but because He is. Because the minute I let go of control, I'm putting Him in control. That's the better way we're journeying. This is prideful because I'm in charge and I know best. But to go like this, that act of surrender, to say, God, I need you. I'm desperate for you because I've got nothing today. That is the better way. I want to talk to you today about a lady. She is mentioned in three of the four Gospels. And interestingly enough, for all those people who love to think about, you know, the Bible and actually study it and things like that, the book of Mark is the shortest gospel. Of all four gospels, the book of Mark is the shortest. It's the shortest by at least 5 chapters, at most 12. It's great at giving you the highlights. They're just kind of, you're going boom, boom, boom. He's just giving you all the things that you need to know about Jesus and what went on in his life. That's what the book of Mark is, except for this one story. For some reason, the writer of Mark thought this one story was so important that he stops there and he lets us read and he begins to describe something in a way he doesn't actually do for many other stories in his gospel. There is something important about this story. For those of you interested, it's in Matthew 9, verses 20 to 22, Mark 5, verses 25 to 34, and Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. 3 Gospels. I'm really sorry. I can go slower for all those taking notes if you want. Would you like me to do that? I can do that. All right. Mark, Matthew 9, verse 20 to 22. Mark 5, verses 25 to 34. And Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. Mark's Gospel goes into it in more detail than any of the others. I'm not quite smart enough to be able to explain to you why, but there's something in that, right? This is an important story. Let me go into some detail about the story that we're about to hear this morning. You need to understand that at that time, the Jewish people had a lot of religious laws, customs, traditions. They still do today. But it's really important for the context of the story that we take a moment just to think about some things. Now, these laws, traditions, and rituals actually established themselves way back in the Old Testament. So in the books of Numbers and Leviticus, these traditions and ways of behaving were established way before Jesus came to live on the earth. And they involve cleanliness. See, the temple was set up and established at that time as a place where people could come and make themselves right before God. It was a wonderful, really important thing for the Jewish people to do before God. But to be able to engage in those places and to live a righteous life, they had to be clean. They had to be clean on the inside and the outside. And so there were rules around what clean meant and how to be clean and live a clean life. Now, I want to take a little moment to think about the women at that time. See, there were religious laws that surrounding cleanliness that directly impacted a woman's opportunities and access to religious and social communities. If a woman bled, it took 7 days before they were allowed to even engage in a cleanliness ritual. And anyone who came near her or touched her was unclean until the sunset. So you want to talk about isolation and what that means for a person. If she was bleeding and she came in contact with you, your day would be spoilt. All your plans would be over. Things would just stop for the day. Too bad, too sad, you're unclean now. It was part of their rhythm and their culture. It was normal for them. They couldn't engage in going to the temple at certain times. And they had to actually engage in not just waiting until the sun went down to be clean. There were rituals around sacrifice. There were rituals around bathing that were really important. And then we get to Mark chapter 5. And we meet a lady. Who was unable to be in society, not for 7 days, but for 12 years. Let me just take a moment to think that one through. To to not be able to engage with another person properly for 12 years, not without ruining their day. To be not allowed to engage in religious practices, to be unwelcome in social situations. Can you imagine the depths and intensity of loneliness? And she would have known how unclean she was. See, it's all good to go, oh yeah, I'm cool. I got it all together. I know everyone else thinks I don't, but you know, I'm all right. I'm cool with myself. No, no, no. This was 12 years. This is 12 years of no one wanting to be with her. It's utter isolation, loneliness. She spent all her money. Backstory to this woman is that she spent all her money, all of it, on trying to get well. And the Bible actually says she spent all of her money to such an extent that she had nothing left and she was actually worse than she was better. So she was financially destitute, socially isolated, and unable to engage in any religious experiences. Completely cut off. Now, I don't know whether there are people here today who actually feel like that is what they're living out or whether it's something that they're feeling internally. But my challenge to you today is that this story doesn't end there for this woman. And it doesn't end there for you either. See, God's plan is for wholeness and redemption and for healing and for connection and for community. And if you're here going, you know what, I kind of feel isolated, and I feel lonely, I feel cut off, and I'm feeling unwell, you know what, you're in the right place. Welcome. Let me take you on the journey of this story. Jesus was gaining in popularity. See, people knew that if they were around him, interesting things were going to happen. At the worst, they were going to learn something interesting and see something cool. At the very best, their life would be completely transformed and changed. So Jesus had a following, and the people were kind of gathering and really pumped and excited for what was going on. And so Jesus got on the boat one day with his mates and went across the lake, and an amazing miracle happened over there. A young man who had a demon possession was healed. See, everywhere Jesus went was impacted. There is no place that God is where those who are searching for him are not left completely satisfied. And then Jesus got back in the boat and he came back over to the other side of the shore, and the crowd was waiting. They were waiting for him. Now the crowd was so thick that the disciples actually started commenting, going, you know what, this is a little bit ridiculous. We can't really, it's hard for us to walk right now. It wasn't just like being in a crush or a crowd in the city, because everyone was there for him. So you can imagine... you can imagine the people grabbing at him and pushing to get as close as they could and getting up in his space. And through the crowd, a man makes his way, and his name was Jairus. And he was a religious leader. He was a leader in the synagogue. And he came toward Jesus, and because he knew about Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I've got a daughter and she's dying. She's 12 years old. That's really interesting to note. She was 12 years old. And he said, come with me, because I believe that if you could just be in the same room with her, if you could just touch her, she would be made well again. Can you come with me? And I love Jesus. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, we see he's absolutely moved with compassion for people who are hurting and suffering. And so he goes, yes, let's go. So he got his crew and all the crowd, because they weren't letting him really go very far without them. So they all started moving toward Jairus' house, and all of a sudden, Jesus pauses in the middle of this crazy crowd and goes, stop. stop, someone's touched me. And Peter, because you know Peter, he's always a little bit, I love Peter. Peter goes, hey, whatever, Jesus, are you kidding? Everyone's touching you. Oh, Peter. Everyone's touching you, Jesus. What are you talking about? He's like, no. We've had a moment. Someone's had a moment with me. Someone's healed. Someone's whole. Someone's well. So you can just imagine the noise that was starting to move around the crowd. Jesus had stopped. He was making a bit of a fuss. Like, what's he talking about? Someone's well. Someone's healed. Who's been healed? Who's been made well? So there was a woman, and her internal noise was so loud that she had an external action attached to it. She went, you know what? I am so desperate. I am so desperate. I am desperately lonely. I am desperately sick. I am desperately poor. I am desperately isolated. I am in desperate need, and he is my only chance. And so she got down and she started to make her way through the crowd. And the Bible says that she touched the fringe of his garment. Be very aware of that word fringe. She touched the fringe of his garment and she was instantly made whole. Now, she should have been shouting unclean, because if everyone in that crowd had known exactly what was going on in her life, they would have realized that their day was over until sunset, because she was unclean. So she should have been announcing herself, but she wasn't, because no one knew she was there, because she was so desperate for Jesus. And when she realized she couldn't hide anymore, she came forward and she knelt before him. I believe she was already crouching really low to get to him in the first place. But she knelt before him and she said, it was me, I touched you. And I did it because I was desperate. And now after 12 years, I'm healed. I'm well, I'm clean. And Jesus says something so beautiful. He says, daughter, be encouraged. He doesn't say, I'm glad it worked out for you today. Or you're welcome. No. He says, be encouraged. It was your faith. It was your faith that made you better. You let go of your pride and positioned yourself in a place that was the wrong thing to do socially. Your internal noise and belief in me caused you to externally act and let go of what was holding you back, and now you are well. Be encouraged, you've done the right thing. See, when we come to God with our need, he never judges. Be encouraged, my son, be encouraged, my daughter. You are doing the right thing. This is the right place for you to receive healing and the right place for you to receive answers. Be encouraged. And this woman went away and she was well and she was whole and she was healed. She could engage in normal social activity. She could engage in religious practices. Now, Jesus doesn't forget, though, because he still went to Jairus' house and he still healed this woman. This little girl, I should say. She's only 12. And the miracle was beautiful, with the lady who was bleeding and the little girl who was in her home. Both of them were important. But I believe our challenge is this. Don't hold so tightly to being okay all the time when you aren't, and Jesus knows it. It's okay to let go and say, I need your help. That's the better way. That's what we can learn from that woman. I want to talk to you about the fringe. She grabs the fringe. See, Jesus was a Jewish man. He would have been wearing a prayer shawl. It was what they wore on the outside, and they still do. If you look up pictures, the Orthodox Jews still wear shawls that cover their outer garment. It's the outer garment that they wear. And at the corner of those prayer shawls is a fringe. Now, if we look back, remember I said at the beginning that all of these customs and rituals are connected to the Old Testament laws and rules that God provided the Israelite people. If we look back in Numbers, it explains that that fringe represents the promises of God. It's actually knotted really deliberately. It's not just some mindless little plait that the creator popped in the corner to make it look pretty. No, that's very purposeful. It's in the Old Testament. So when this woman opened her hand and reached out for Jesus, she was taking hold of the promises of God. She was letting go of what she was holding on to for herself and reached out and grabbed what God had instead. This is not a story that is distant from my life. I can learn from it. At times I've been that woman. At times I've been Peter going, whatever, God, we've got places to be. Keep on walking through the crowd. I've been him too. And we can learn, and we can take a second, and we can understand that the better way is always to grab a hold of what God has for us and let go of what we would like, because his way is always better, and his way leads to wholeness, and his way leads to healing, and his way leads to life. You see, surely there were other people in the crowd that day who needed him. There would have been all of those people there. They were there for a reason. They were curious about him. But they would have had needs themselves. They would have had things going on in their own life. But a woman had a noise on the inside going, this man, this God, he's the one who can fix what's going on for me. I'm going to let go of me and grab a hold of him. And she was the one who was healed that day, in that moment. There is nothing weak about coming to Jesus deliberately and with desperation. And my challenge to us as a community is to champion that in one another. To be able to say, yes, I'm standing with you today, because tomorrow you'll stand with me. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says this: you're blessed. Let's let that word sink in for a second. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You are blessed. Not weak, blessed. When you take what you hold really closely and let him do what he needs to do. We're going to engage right now in a time of worship. We're going to engage in a time of prayer. Remember what I said at the beginning, I've sensed that the red carpet is rolled out. But what you do with this invitation from God is completely up to you. I would really love it if the elders and the team could just position themselves around the room, because I believe that there are people who need prayer. Who need to make a deliberate action and a deliberate stand to engage in God, with God, and need their community to stand with them in that moment. Be deliberate and let's celebrate what it looks like to be desperate for Him. Because that's when things shift and change.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've been blessed by this teaching. If you'd like to connect with us, make a financial gift, or find out more about Kingsway Churches, head to kingsway.org.au. Have a good one.